certain things in this world that do not improve the longer they exist. There are some things in this world that are hard to improve upon. By a show of hands, how many of you either remember or are familiar with the 1985 attempt at New Coke? I'm just going to say proportionately there were a lot more hands in the first service. So after 99 years in 1985, Coca-Cola in a huge competition with Pepsi-Cola, and Pepsi had increased its market share and Coke began to get concerned. Coca-Cola, which is now, along with Nike and some others, the most recognizable emblems in the world, they decided they would tinker with that recipe. The recipe, by the way, that began in this area, right? Folks in Atlanta think it started there, but it really started in this area. And so after 99 years, Coca-Cola decided they would try to update the recipe. They launched it, and there was an initial bump when people ran out to try this new Coke, but then it just fell off the cliff. It was a disaster. The whole marketing was, and they pulled it off the shelf and reintroduced old Coke, which quite frankly has then held the market ever since. So it was either a really, really brilliant marketing strategy or a terrible one that just worked out. And by the way, did you know that they are offering a release of new Coke again for a limited time? Did anybody else know that in here? So, besides Suzanne, she's the one that told me this. I'm not that smart. She's the one that told me. And apparently, there's a web-based series on Netflix called Stranger Things. I don't endorse it. I don't know anything about it. I don't not endorse it. I don't know that much about it. I just know that in conjunction with that series, they are, for a limited time, releasing new Coke again. But I just got to tell you, we're pretty good with the old Coke. We're kind of Coca-Cola folks in my family. And Coke Zero now, because it's less sugar, right? And all that kind of good stuff. But we're Coke. Some things just don't get better when you try to improve upon them. But there are some things that become better the longer they last. Got a few things in your refrigerator. They expire. Go ahead and throw those away. Don't use them. We don't need any food poisoning. But some other things get better the longer they last. Can I suggest to you that the gospel is just such a thing? That the gospel, there was an initial truth surrounding the gospel, but the longer it lasts in our lives, the longer it lasts in the culture, the better it gets. In fact, I want to suggest to you that in our age, God is doing a new thing from an old command. God is doing a fresh work from an old command. And when I say in our age, let me suggest to you that really our age is the church age, the last 2,000 years. But for our purposes today, can we think about our age as Golden Acres Baptist Church 2019? Let's think about our time now. What is God doing? What does God want to do that's fresh, that's new? I'm telling you, He's doing something fresh in our midst. God is doing a new thing in and through believers in this age. I'm telling you. And so to take a look at this new thing, we're going to look in 1 John chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, if you have your smartphones, your iPads, or your whatever electronic device, or just your old-fashioned Bibles with you, turn to 1 John chapter 2. As we look at this new thing. Now remember, 1 John was a letter written by the Apostle John. I was talking with someone recently who said, yeah, I love that John the Baptist. I said, no, John the Baptist didn't write this. Different John. And so John the Apostle wrote 1 John, and he wrote it to a group of churches to help them be assured of their salvation. Thus, the title of the series, Are You Sure? Are you sure? Now, remember, John wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the Gospel so that lost people might know how to be saved. He wrote the Epistle, 1 John. He wrote 2 and 3 John too. But 1 John in particular, he wrote so that believers might look and have assurance of salvation. Did you know that as a believer, You can have absolute assurance that you will go to heaven when you die. That does not have to be something you wonder about. If you ask me, Pastor Johnny, will you go to heaven when you die? I can say unequivocally, yes, I will. That is not because of an arrogance about me. It is because of a confidence in what God has said. My confidence in eternal life is not wrapped up in me. It is in what God has said being true. And so I got the question for you. Do you know for certain? I'm asking. Do you know for certain that if something happened to you today and you didn't live a day longer, that you would spend eternity in heaven? If your answer is, well, I would like to think so, that's not a good answer. That's not a good answer. Because the scripture says you can absolutely know it. You can. And so why would you want to walk around, well, I'd like to think so, rather than saying, I can absolutely trust in what God said. I will spend eternity in heaven, and I'm walking with God, in fact, right now. So this new thing comes out of 1 John chapter 2. And what we've looked at is some reference points for believers to say, if you're a true believer, these things will be true about your life. And last week, we looked at how some say they're this, this, and this, but their behavior is this, this, and this. And John said, if you say this is true about you, but you do this is true about you, what you do is actually who you are, not what you say. And so we looked at that last week, but we're going to continue to look at the same kind of an idea, but it's from a fresh perspective. That is, there is a new work, a new expression of an old command God is working out in our lives. 1 John chapter 2, I'm going to read the passage. It's verses 7 through 11. 7 through 11, I'm going to read that, and then we'll return to our study of that passage. Brethren, verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard or have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. By the way, that's a phrase that John likes. In the beginning, he uses a lot. He uses it in his gospel. First three words of his gospel are in the beginning. Verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. There are several critical expressions of this new thing. Three in particular we're going to look at today. The first is this. This new thing that God's doing among us involves the original initiation of God's command. That is, it was originally initiated. And what God's doing now is not something new. It's a new expression of an old command. So first we have to know the old command, right? Look at verse 7. Brethren, when John or any of the writers say brethren or brothers, how many of you have a Bible translation that just says brothers? Right there. Anybody? Yeah, okay, just a few. All right, that's okay. Brothers, brethren, which group in particular is John speaking to? Brothers, brethren, to which particular group is John speaking? All right, I heard it, the saved. So those of you who might not be here on Wednesday nights, when I ask a question, you just holler it out. Okay, so those who are here on Wednesday nights know we just holler. Don't worry about raising your hand, just holler it loud. So brothers is translation, I'm speaking to born-again believers. We say, oh, he's speaking to the church. Well, yeah, he's speaking to the biblical church. And I understand, in any given church, Golden Acres not accepted. In any given church in America today, there are probably a lot of lost people among the believers. By the way, it was happening back then too. In fact, next week, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at how there were lost people in the church, many who left, and the believers started asking, what do we do with these people who leave the church? Sound familiar? It's amazing how much things change, how much they stay the same. We're going to actually be dealing with that. Anyway, so John, but he's speaking to actual born-again believers. And so he says, to those of you who are born again, I write no new commandment. That is, I'm not giving you something new. This is not new, but an old commandment, which you have had from when? Okay, now the question is, what beginning? Are we talking Genesis 1? Well, not exactly. He's speaking to the believers. He's speaking to the born-again church. He's speaking to the beginning for them. The beginning for us in terms of Christ is our conversion. So really what he's talking about here is the beginning, meaning when they were first converted. Where you started your Christian life. I'm going back to that. He said, and now what I'm explaining to you is going to be expressed in your life. It's a new expression, but it's not a new original command. The original thought, the original idea, the original commandment hasn't changed. That is, he says, verse 7, the old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. It's the original initiation of God's command. So listen, folks, what we're going to learn today is what God wants to do in our lives, the expression of it. Golden Acres Baptist Church, an individual believer sitting in the pew. God wants to do something fresh, but it's rooted in an original command. What is that original command? Well, there is a story in the book of Matthew. My favorite account of it is in Matthew chapter 22. It's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, just a little note. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as the synoptic gospels, which means they are a synopsis. They are very similar. They are very close to being many of the same things. John is kind of a different deal. It's still a gospel, the gospel of John, but he has a lot of different stuff than Matthew, Mark, or Luke, just for your information. So anyway, the book of Matthew 27 has a story in it where the leaders, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Sadducees, they were seeking to trip Jesus up. They did this a lot. They were seeking to trip Jesus up, and every once in a while they would send somebody up to ask Jesus a question that they thought he would stumble over. He didn't, but they thought he might. And they just kept trying it. So finally this lawyer shows up. In that day, the lawyer was more an attorney of the Levitical law than an attorney of the civil law. So this attorney shows up and he says to Jesus in front of everybody, "Hey, teacher, what is the greatest commandment?" He asked Jesus in front of everybody, thinking, you know, we kind of have him. In fact, if you go back and read the story of this account, it would appear that the attorney is probably pretty sincere, because when Jesus answers the question, he doesn't get mad. He agrees. So I don't know that the attorney probably had good intentions, possibly, but he was sent by people with bad intentions. And so he asked Jesus, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "Here it is. And this commandment wraps up all the commandments." You ready? He says, "The first part is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And so this greatest commandment, there is a vertical piece. Everybody get that? Vertical piece is to be in love with God through Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on to say, but there is a second part of this command, and he uses a term, he said, it's like unto it. That is, it's almost the same thing as, or it's as if you can't have the first without the second. And if you have the second, then I know you have the first. So the second part of this command is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the horizontal piece. He said, so this greatest commandment has a vertical piece, love God with all your heart. It has a horizontal piece, love others. In fact, that is the original command about which John speaks. You say, well, how do you know that? We're going to see that in just a minute as you move forward. That is the original command. The original command for your life, you ready? Fall in love with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Nothing, listen, nothing else matters if you don't have the vertical piece. It doesn't matter how much good stuff you're doing in the community. It doesn't matter how much good stuff you're doing in this church. If you don't have the vertical piece, a love relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, nothing else matters. You say, well, something matters. Well, how about this? In 1,000 years, no matter how much good stuff you did, if you never had a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, none of that stuff's going to matter. None of it. It's not going to matter how many clothes you donated, how many pints of blood you gave. I mean, it's not going to matter. Your life, really, your life in God begins when you enter a relationship with Him. And furthermore, for those who truly have a relationship with God, they will have a love, concern, and relationship for others. You can't have one without the other. It is an impossibility. To separate those two would be like trying to separate H2 and O and think you're still going to have water. You can't do it. So the original initiation of God's command in your life is falling in love with God, which should then ultimately be expressed in a vertical or a horizontal relationship with others. That's the original command. So point being, what we're talking about here in this new expression, it ain't new, really. It's an old command. So if you're going to get what I'm talking about, it has to start with the vertical piece in a love relationship with God. And so I got to ask, for every one of you sitting here today, has there been a point where you know you've trusted Christ as your Savior and know that you're going to heaven when you die? And if you have any doubt about that, I'm telling you, the horizontal piece is going to be a disconnect. It's going to be a dysfunction. It can't work out. And it won't matter how much horizontal good you do. If the vertical's not there, you miss the boat. You can't do enough good horizontal stuff to make up for a lack of the vertical. You get my drift? And I'm going to tell you what you're going to see about my teaching and preaching. This truth is taught all through the Scriptures in places we've never even thought of it. And you'll see as we go along in months and years to come. Anyway, so this is the original initiation of God's command. Look at verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write. Whoa, John. You just said, John, you're not writing a new command, right? Everybody see that? Everybody said, we all see it. John, you can't just turn around the next verse. I mean, at least wait a couple of chapters before you contradict yourself, right? So maybe the separation will make us forget about it. No, the very next verse he comes back. Again, a new commandment I write you, which is true in him and in you. So a new commandment I write you. Literally, he's saying, look, what I'm teaching you is not a new commandment, but it is a new expression of an old commandment. The old commandment hasn't changed. Love God, love others. In fact, he says this new command, look at verse 8, this new command is true where? Who said that? In him, right? Everybody look at me. In him and where? And in you. You get it? That this new command, it's true because you've fallen in love with God and then you're going to show love for others. Watch this. Verse 8, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness, especially, why is this thing becoming true in us? Why does it need to become true in us? Golden Acres Baptist Church, why does this command need to become true in us according to verse 8? It says it right there. Don't look at me. Look at the text. What does it say? Because what's happening? Darkness. Everybody get that? I mean, if you don't think there's darkness lurking around, just open the news. Some of you are like, I quit reading the news, man. It's just discouraging. Nothing but bad news, right? That's what gets the head. But you know why there's so much bad news in the news? Because there's so much bad news. There is a darkness descending. But watch this, verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Do you know that the light of Jesus shines brighter now than it ever has? But did you know that the light of Jesus is no brighter now than it was 100 years ago? The light of Jesus is no brighter than it was 1,000 years ago. The light is no brighter, it's just getting darker. And it may be more and more clear when you see Jesus out in the culture, but I'm telling you, that light hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It's just the darkness descends more. And when it gets darker, light gets lighter. When I was a freshman in college, I remember my favorite baseball player is a guy named Oral Hershiser. He's a pitcher. And he used to pitch for the Dodgers and then later the Indians. But I remember with the Dodgers, because he had one of the greatest years in the history of Major League Baseball in pitching. And he had a scoreless inning streak. And that year he was the MVP of the World Series. The Dodgers were supposed to lose to the mighty Oakland A's, and the Dodgers won. And I remember watching that game on a little 13-inch black and white TV with antennas. Sitting in my dorm room. My parents wouldn't pay for cable in my dorm room, so I had to watch it with this antenna. So I was so deprived. But I remember watching that TV, and then Alyssa and I got married, and we had a box TV, I don't know, maybe 21 inches, 25 inches, colored TV. Had us some cable television. We were smoking. And I remember seeing that TV, and then some of the flat panel TV, the plasmas and the LCDs began to come out. And I remember saying to Alyssa, "Baby, I cannot imagine paying that much money just for a slightly better picture. I mean, really, how much better could it be?" And I remember one day we were in a store. I don't remember if it was Walmart or at that time maybe Sears. I don't even know if Best Buy was a thing at that point. I don't remember. I just remember we were in a store, and there was a wall full of TVs. And there was a new display about LCDs, HD LCD TVs. And there was a football game on. Hey, baby, I'm gonna say, you go shop. I'm going to sit right here. And you could see individual blades of grass. That's what I'm saying. On those TVs, I was like, wow. I mean, if the way to a guy, they say way to a guy's heart is a stomach. It's HDTV, folks. I'm telling you. And I was like, we got to get one of these. And do you know, every time up from then on, when new technology came out, the HD and the greater clear picture, now it's 4K TV, and there will be some other new technology, right? I stopped saying, how much better could the view be? Because now I'm watching TV, and it's almost like I'm watching a live action thing. I mean, it's like I'm there live watching it. It's so clear. It's just almost freaky how clear it's gotten with the technology. Now, can you imagine if I insisted on still having that black and white rabbit ears antenna TV and watching two little blobs play football, or just a little brown blob go through the air? It's a pass. I think that's a pass. I don't know. But can you imagine if I insisted on watching that little TV? When there are fresh new things coming out, opportunities. Can I tell you something? The light of Jesus Christ has never gotten brighter. It doesn't need to. But I'll tell you something. It needs to get brighter in some of us. And it concerns me when I see people who honestly think they've got HD quality spiritual lives, and they're still with black and white analog rabbit ears spiritually. And they're satisfied with that. And John says, I got to tell you something. The darkness is coming. And if we'll walk in the light of Jesus Christ, the light's just going to get brighter. Not because the light, Jesus needs to get brighter, but just because the darkness is getting darker. And folks, I'm telling you, the clear expression of God's command is that things are getting brighter when we walk in the power of Jesus Christ. And so listen, if people can't tell that you're walking in the power of the Holy, if they can't tell you're a true believer in today's culture, in the darkness of today's culture, if they honestly can't tell, I'm concerned. Because it doesn't take much light to be light in today's culture. It doesn't take a whole lot. I'm going to show you something. Pull out your cell phones. Pull out your cell phones and turn on the flashlight and hold them up. Turn on the flashlight and hold up your cell. Just keep them up. I don't think flip phones will work, so I don't. Do they have flashlights? I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to crack on flip phones. I don't know if they'll work. My uncle has a flip phone. My kids make fun of him every time we go home for Christmas into Tennessee. All right, so now here's what we're going to do. Okay, you've got everybody look around. Oh, look, see the lights? Okay, we're going to slowly bring the lights down. So don't try to move around because it's about to get real dark. Okay, pause there for just a second. Is that all of them? Yeah, right. Wonderful. I did do a funeral last year and Freebird was the recessional. That's true. So I got a question. Do these lights look different right now than they did 2 minutes ago? They do. Are the lights different? The darkness is just darker. Can I suggest to you that we should be brighter and brighter, not because necessarily Jesus needs to get brighter, but it's getting darker. And if people can't see Golden Acres Baptist Church shining brightly in this dark culture, they never will. You can bring the lights up now. There is a clear expression of God's command, and if we're walking in Jesus, it will show. Now watch this, verse 9. He who says he is in the light, he who says he is in the light, he who says he is in the light, right? And so John does this a lot. He who says, he who says, he who says. And I think we learned last week that just because you say it, don't necessarily make it so. It's what you do. And what you do is what you really believe, not what you say. And if what you say and what you do doesn't match, what am I going to believe? What you do. But he says here, he who says he is in the light, or she, the person who says they are in the light, but there is a disconnect. What's the disconnect according to verse 9? Hates his brother. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, I don't hate his brother. In this case, we're talking about other believers in particular, okay? Well, I don't hate anybody. Well, if you go back to Matthew chapter 6, and Jesus says, you have heard it said unto you, do not commit murder. And he says, but if you even hate anyone in your heart, or you call them, the attitude of your heart that hate emanates out of is ultimately what causes murder. And the attitude is just as bad as the action. Now, I know not in actually going to jail or whatever, or circumstances, but the actual attitude for God of hate is the same as if you actually committed murder in God's eyes. And so he says here, if you say that you're in the light, but you have bad attitudes, negative attitudes, hateful attitudes toward other believers, there is a fundamental problem with your faith. You are probably, look, it says it right here, you're probably still in the darkness. Translation, lost. Lost. There's a good chance. If you say you love God, have the vertical, you're in the light, and yet you have a negative attitude, a bitter idea, bitter thoughts toward other believers in the horizontal, there's a good chance you're lost. Look at verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because of the darkness. You know the worst part about someone who has hatred toward other believers? So often, they don't even know they have it. They're walking around in the dark and they don't even know it. They think they're in the light. It's like those fish who live way, way down in the ocean who now have no more eyes. They've been in such dark for so long, their eyes went away. Them fish think they're in the light. Imagine their surprise if they actually gained eyesight and got in the light. How different that would be. We've got folks walking around in our churches thinking they're in the light, walking around in the dark. And one of the expressions is the way we minister to other believers. So you ready? When we're talking about this new thing, there is a distinct application of God's command, a distinct application. And the application is that I seek to minister grace and to pour my life into others in the horizontal because I have a love relationship with God. Here's the point. It says if you don't have a love relationship with God, then you're likely not going to have a concern or a desire to minister to others. And if you say that you love God, but you're not involved in pouring your life into others, it is doubtful. Not only that, but if you have negative thoughts, negative attitudes against someone else, for what they did to you, for what color their skin is, for where they're from how they smell, for whatever. Whatever your attitude is toward them, if you have that toward them, but you say you love God, I got news. With all due respect, you don't. You don't. Because you can't have the vertical and not have the horizontal. And if you say you have the vertical, but you're not showing up here saying, how can I pour my life into others? It's unlikely you have the first. There is a story also in the gospel of accounts of an event that took place with Jesus. It was a young man who came to Jesus. We call him the rich young ruler. My favorite version of this is in the book of Mark, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Anyway, this young man walks up to Jesus. Let me tell you about this young man because I think we may have a picture of him that is not completely accurate. There's a young man named Rich Young Ruler. And for those who may not be familiar with the story, let me kind of give you the summary. It's a guy that comes to Jesus. He's wealthy. He's powerful. He is well respected in the community. He does good things. He goes and volunteers at the shelters and volunteers in the community. He's civic minded. He votes. He's a good guy. He made good grades. He's in the top 10% of his class. He drives a nice car. He makes good money. He's the guy all the parents looked toward and said, boy, that young man, he's really made something of himself. And this guy walks up to Jesus and says, hey, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, I'll tell you what, do this. And he says, I want you to follow the commandments. I want you to follow the commandments. I want to show you something. Hold your place here in 1 John and go back to the book of Exodus 20. Exodus 20, quickly. Exodus chapter 20, second book in the Bible. Exodus chapter 20. Okay, so watch this. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 3. We have the commandments. Generally, we think of the commandments in a group of 10, right? Sometimes referred to theologically as the Decalogue, 10. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. Verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. First four commands. Everybody look at me. All the first four commands are related to the vertical relationship with God. Everybody got that? Worshiping God. All the first four commands. Now, let's look at the rest of them. Verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Verse 13. You shall not commit murder. Verse 14. You shall not commit adultery. Verse 15. You shall not steal. Verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. And on and so forth. So the final six commands all relate to our relationship with people. Everybody get that? Even the Ten Commandments are set up in a vertical and a horizontal. That's the way it works. The vertical will always produce the horizontal. And so Jesus says to the rich young ruler, you can go back to 1 John, by the way. Jesus says to the rich young ruler, he says, okay, you need to follow the commandments. And then you know what Jesus does? He lists out the last six commandments. All of the commandments that relate to people, that relate to what we do with people, our relationships with people. Everybody got that? And the rich young ruler, you know what he says? I got that. Ain't no problem. I got that. Jesus said, okay, one more thing. Just a little thing. Sell everything you have and follow me. Probably not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And so the rich young ruler walks away, and the text says, because he was rich. Oh, so it's a sin to be rich. No. The problem was his wealth was way more important to him than God. In fact, his wealth was what he worshipped. His substance, his material stuff was what he worshipped. Jesus wasn't saying, if you want to be saved, sell your stuff and follow me. Jesus was saying, if you want to be saved, I have to become your life. Sometime in the past, people have said to me, Jesus is our number one priority. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is my life. He sets my priorities. Jesus, my whole life. So the rich young ruler walks away. In the book of Mark, it says Jesus watches him, and it says he loved him. Funny thing about the rich young ruler, his expression of the vertical and the horizontal was kind of opposite from what many people's are. He did all the horizontal stuff. He did all the good stuff to people. He did all the stuff in the community. But it didn't make up for a lack of the vertical. And so often in the church body, we got people who say they have the vertical, but they got no horizontal. And I'm telling you, you can't get one without the other. And so I'm asking you, what's your horizontal? What is your application? If you are in love with Christ, you don't need to tell me. But I'm just wondering, what in your life is showing up that shows you are pouring your life into other people? Because when you are in love with God, you are going to desire to serve others. You can't help it. You know why? You'll never hear me stand up and berate and beg and cajole you to share your faith or to serve. There will be times, and this morning is going to be one of those, there will be times I'll share with you opportunities to serve, but I ain't going to stand up here and beg anybody. Because I'm going to tell you, if I beg you into doing something, then I'm trying to make something happen that the Holy Spirit hadn't already made happen. And there's nothing I can do to change that if the Holy Spirit had already done it. Now, we'll make opportunities available. That's one thing. But I'm telling you, if you are in love with Christ in the vertical, then you will seek how you can pour your life into others. And I'm not talking about coming every week and simply sitting in a pew. That's part of it. Be at church. But it's like we come to church and, Lord, I want to get a blessing. What if our attitude, even just about a Sunday morning worship service, in spite of everything, aside from everything else, what if our attitude became, Lord, how can I bless someone today? Whatever blessing you give me or not give me, from the worship service or Pastor Johnny's preaching, you know, he preaches too long, I don't know. If I don't get any kind of a blessing, then Lord, what can I do to pour my life into someone else? What if we showed up, not for what we can get out of worship, but for how we can pour our lives into someone else? And then what if it extended beyond these walls, out into connect groups? I want to make a shameless plug. A connect group is a place where you can find individual opportunities to pour your life into people. And if you are not involved in one of our small groups, our connect groups, it's unlikely you're going to remain connected to this church over a long period of time. I'm just saying. Because that's where you get involved in people's lives and you find out the needs and you find out the ways that you can begin to serve others. And I'm telling you, if God has assaulted you and His love has overtaken you, you will desire to find ways to serve others. That is the expression, a new expression of an old. The church body is the new expression of the old command. Ladies and gentlemen, God's doing a new thing. And what if Golden Acres Baptist Church began to be a place where people looked in and said, they love God and they love each other. Wow. They love God and they love people in this community. Wow. When I was in college one summer, I spent the whole summer as a summer missionary down in Orlando, Florida. And we did Bible clubs at some of the local campgrounds. We did worship services at some of the local resorts. And we did street evangelism. For those of you who may be slightly familiar with Orlando, International Drive is like one of the hubs of Orlando. And even back in that day, it's more so now. We would go out to this place on International Drive and we would do street evangelism. And there was a place right down the road. International Drive has restaurants and go-kart tracks and water parks and all kinds of fun things to do. And one place was like a golf driving range. It was putt-putt golf course, driving range, the whole deal. And in the driving range, it had a small little green about 150 yards out or so. And it had different prizes you could win. So you went and got your bucket of balls and you hit them at the driving range. And if you hit a ball in the hole, there was a good prize. And if you were closest to the pin for that day, you got a special prize. Or if you hit your ball inside a certain line on that green, you got a prize. But there was one other really, really big prize you could get. You could go inside and you could buy this golf ball. It's a gold golf ball for $20. It wasn't real gold. It was painted gold, by the way. For $20, you could purchase that golf ball. And then you'd go out and you would hit that golf ball at the green. And if in one stroke, that golf ball, you made a hole-in-one that you paid $20 for. If you made a hole-in-one, you won $1 million. Well, that sounds easy. Well, it sounds easy, except that nobody ever did it the whole summer I was there. It had to be that ball. Not two strokes. No, not two strokes. One stroke. But what if I hit one of my other golf balls in the hole? No, it had to be that ball. That ball, one stroke, one time in the hole. That's it. Can I suggest to you, God's saying it like this. Here's the only way to make happen what I'm talking about. One relationship, one God, one Savior, one time. And if that's happened in your life, then I'm telling you, it's going to be showing in what you do. It's one entryway. And so today, I'm inviting you. If you have doubts about your salvation, if you have doubts about eternal life, listen, why wait? I mean, really, why wait? Come on. In just a moment, have the invitation. You can come right now, as far as I'm concerned. If you're in the balcony, it might take a little bit more time, but come on down. Do this. At least talk with someone who can explain to you how to be saved, and then at least you'll know for sure. You might still decide to walk away from here not trusting Christ. Okay. We're not going to make you do anything you're not ready to do. But wow, just think of walking in and out of a church service week in and week out. Maybe being lost, being so close, and yet still being lost. Why don't you come today and trust Christ? Maybe God's leading you to be a part of this church. We can give you instructions on how that happens. We have kind of a process to be a member of Golden Acres Baptist. Why don't you just come do that? Just be a part. So I'm here, Lord. I'm a part of what you're doing, and I want to be here. And you come. Maybe there's something else that God's spoken to your heart. So many of you came and prayed earlier. Maybe God's still speaking something to you about prayer. I'm going to pray. Todd's going to lead, and we're going to respond. Father, in Jesus' name, right now, Lord, I pray that we would obey you.